Down the Dump Podcast.
Welcome to the Down the Dump Podcast. It is November 1st, 2013. We are a few days into the regular season. We appreciate you tuning in to our podcast. Remember to follow us on Twitter at DTD Podcast. Search us in iTunes or on your pod center on your phone. Search Down to Dunk. Subscribe to us, rate us, review us. We appreciate you listening to us. We appreciate you being with us today. This is Jay with me, as it is every week, Taylor and Andrew. Gentlemen, y'all doing okay?
Yay, yay. Spooky, scary post-Halloween show.
It is the 1st of November. Halloween was a little anticlimactic to me. How about your Halloween?
Well, I have an 18-month-old son, so it was awesome.
Did y'all go trick-or-treating?
Yes.
Do you have a good neighborhood for that?
Yes. It's awesome.
That makes me happy.
He was a tiger.
He's a tiger, you're a lion.
And he roars. It was awesome.
Is that a Katy Perry reference?
I don't know.
So is your wife Katy Perry?
I don't know what that means.
All right. this reference escapes me. Taylor, what were you, man?
I was a lonely bum that watched basketball by himself all day.
Any trick-or-treaters at the apartments?
No. I don't know. I didn't come back here until like 8 or 8:30. Probably not.
I think most kids nowadays either
go to parking lots.
They go to parking lots or they go to neighborhoods that they know they're actually going to give away candy. Like, you go through my neighborhood.
It's sad,
no
man.
Kids. It's crazy.
No kids?
No kids. Wow. We didn't have a single trick-or-treater.
That's sad. Isn't that sad to you?
Did you have a candy bowl ready?
Not outside. I had a candy bowl ready inside.
Okay. That's what I meant. That's what I meant. Inside.
You know, you put it outside, one kid gets all that candy.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe in your
neighborhood. Or one 17-year-old who sees it gets all that candy.
And then, you know, that's when I come out and whip somebody's butt. You don't steal candy from kids, man, right?
No.
You wouldn't even know. You wouldn't even know. If I drove by, it'd be such a quick snatch. You'd have no idea.
Can we just, for real quick, as we transition into basketball talk, can we just talk about, what's your favorite candy bar, Taylor?
Oh, Symphony, but I don't think they make them anymore.
Symphony? Are you 85 years old?
Dude, what? They're so good.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So, I know. You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about. They're blue or red. Like, they have a blue option and a red option. I don't know what the difference is.
I like the blue one. The blue one has toffee and almonds in it. It's like a Hershey's bar with toffee and almonds.
Hmm.
And it's really good.
Sounds horrible.
Sounds old.
It does sound old. It's between it's really that old. Werther's original for you, Taylor.
And it's it's red?
Huh?
It's red chocolate?
No.
They're
the packaging.
Packaging.
It's the same packaging. It like is a like a yellow kind of music
Well, it's
sheet.
Like a tan. Yeah. It's like a music sheet with like cursive writing on it. It's not appealing to children at all.
The package is old as the candy bar is. What about you, Andrew?
I just don't know how you can beat a Snickers bar.
Snickers bars are good. Especially
that's my thing.
If you're not going anywhere for a while, they're really good.
If you're not going anywhere.
It's a reference to the commercials. Nope. All right.
Is that what? If you're not going anywhere. If you're stationary.
What does it say?
That was a commercial.
If you're not moving.
That Snickers candy bar.
What was there? That may not have been it. You may be right. Mine, and this is kind of, I realize.
You're not going anywhere for a while.
Going anywhere
for
a while.
What does that mean?
If you get your legs broken. Snickers is the best.
Are you invalid? Have a Snickers. Hey, so this is the one that's funny that I feel like I thought was going to be an old one, but until old Symphony Boy over here. Almond Joys.
Hey, man, that's not old.
I love Almond Joys.
I don't like Almond Joys. I don't like coconut.
You don't like coconut?
No.
I don't know about that then. I don't know about our friendship anymore.
You like coconut? Like coconut candy?
Coconut anything.
Yeah, really anything.
I like. No,
you
I
like
don't
pina
like
coladas?
Okay. I was trying to think of like another line in that song, but I don't know if I know the getting actual words to that song.
Getting caught in the rain.
Getting like caught in the rain.
All right.
Hey.
Speaking if you like making love at midnight.
Hey, Taylor, are you staying there for a second?
I'll have a Snickers.
You should have a Snickers.
I'm
going to
be home all day. I'll have that's a perfect opportunity for a Snickers.
You're leaving your apartment?
I'm going to figure out if that was the actual catchphrase there for a while. But now it's the one like. Not being yourself. Have a Snickers
bar. Yeah, yeah, you're hungry.
Anyway. All right.
Those are funny.
So speaking of Snickers bars.
Not being yourself.
Let's talk some NBA. So kind of the rundown for today, we're going to do true or false. We are in regular season mode, and so we're going to do true or false, and we're going to do our top and bottom five of the league. We're going to talk about our say what stat. We're going to do pour one out. In the middle of all that, Taylor's got a game for us. So you boys ready?
Mm-hmm.
You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. True or false time, y'all.
First true or false, this comes from Clipcast, followers of ours, guys that do a really good Clippers podcast and are unashamedly biased like we are towards the Thunder with the Clippers. And so I know last night was fun for them.
Shout out.
They said Scott Brooks will be on the hot seat if the Thunder don't make the finals this year.
False. I think the Thunder want stability in their coach, and I think that they found it in Scott Brooks. He's done a good job. He's already made it to the finals once. He's been to the conference finals. Last year they had a really nice excuse for not going further than they did with the Russell Westbrook injury, and I think because of the turnover on the roster this season and the inexperience of guys like Jeremy Lamb, Reggie Jackson, and Steven Adams, that is another, you know, kind of excuse that they're going to have. Well, when these guys are all have another year under their belt, then maybe we can reevaluate. So maybe not this season, but maybe the season after, if they don't make the finals, then maybe they can look at, you know, letting Scott Brooks go. But I do not see that happening. I don't. I think that they are going to stick with him.
And that's an awfully high barometer in which to evaluate a coach. You know, like, you don't make it to the NBA Finals, you get fired. Like, that's the Denver Nuggets type of evaluation piece, right?
Do you think they'd even think about it, though? I think they said they're talking about a hot seat.
And it depends it depends on the evaluation of who would put them on the hot seat. Like, as far as fans, Scott Brooks is on the hot seat if he loses a game, right?
Yeah.
Now, as far as Sam Presti, I don't think it even becomes warm.
I don't think so.
I think it's already been decided, probably. Scott Brooks is fine this year, no matter.
So contrary to Sam Presti's mentality, though, you know, and I think they like what he brings. My big issue is if they continue to flounder as far as, and it's, I mean, can we just to preface everything for today, we understand that it is far too early to make any evaluations on anything. But if their offense, and luckily they're going to get Russ back in the next couple weeks, but if their offense doesn't at least look like an offense again, you know, I think that there's going to be more questions pre-Russ than there will be. But by the time you start thinking about that, by the time the seat starts to get a little warm, Russ will be back and the offense will make sense again, you know? And so I don't think so. And I think the Thunder have a good shot of being back there this year.
Yeah, they
do. As good a shot as anybody.
As long as Russell's healthy, they can get out of the West.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Anybody else have anything on that before we move on? Thanks for Clipcast for the question. Question number two from Brian Matthews at Brian_Matthews. Matthews. It's actually Matthews, I think.
Yes, it is.
Brian Matthews is one of our most loyal Twitter conversational people.
Yeah. He's one of those guys. Wow. You know what? He doesn't really go anywhere for a long time.
We should toss him a Snickers.
Hey, so, by the way, beginning in 1995, Snickers ran ads which featured someone making a self-inflicted mistake with the voiceover saying, "Not going anywhere for a while? Grab a Snickers." One such ad had a player for a fictional American football team showing off his new tattoo on the team's logo on his back to his teammates. He then... Do you not remember the Chiefs one where the guy was making the field and he goes, "Yeah, that's great. Yeah, but who are the chefs?" And then he goes,
"Not going anywhere.
Great googly moogly."
I do remember that now.
I was four. I don't remember.
It just sounds really funny when you said it.
Yeah, well.
It sounded really funny.
All right, Brian Matthews, thanks for the question. Hope we answered it. Just kidding. Steven Adams is better than Kendrick Perkins. I'm going to say false right now.
I can't say he is right now.
Why?
Because you have preseason and one regular season game. And I know it seems obvious or whatever. And I know we all want Steven Adams to play over Perk. We all do. But
Okay,
I just can't. I'm not willing to say that he's better than Perkins.
I'm willing. I'm willing right now.
Okay. He's a better basketball player.
He's a better athlete.
I agree.
He's a better offensive rebounder.
Check.
He's a better shot blocker.
Check.
Okay. He is probably a better defensive rebounder as well.
Check.
And number five, and this is most important, Steven Adams has not done yet stupid things on the court. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, dude, like
example,
that terribly poorly timed hook shot.
The hook shot at the end of the game. Steven Adams would not have taken that shot.
Was the entire Thunder fan base screaming, No, oh God, no.
Yes.
That's where we were at. Taylor and I actually watched it together. Sorry for the lack of invite, Andrew. You were bad.
I couldn't have come. I had strep throat.
Oh gosh. You're already over that?
Oh yeah.
Dude, you got the immune system of
Wolverine. you just stayed home. You didn't go anywhere.
I wasn't going anywhere for a while.
Okay. Hey, so
I apologize for the rest of this podcast. We're gonna make references to that.
Listen. Based on everything you just said, I'd probably say yes, he is a better player. But it's early for me. And Steven Adams, I said this in a text message this week. Steven Adams played fine on Monday night.
Yeah,
Wednesday night. Nothing was his fault as to why he wasn't more involved in the offense. That was totally on the offense's fault. And, you know, I don't know. I just think it's early to start saying that.
I don't, because I don't think it takes that much to be better than Kendrick Perkins. I don't think it takes that much. And I think that being he's an elite athlete for being a 7-footer already.
Yeah, you're right.
And he has a sense for rebounding that I don't think Perk has. And there are things that Perk is better at. Perk is a better pick and roll defender.
He's a better position.
And he's a better overall defender than he is. But that's something that takes time. And I think that he will develop into probably an equivalent defender to Perkins. But I do think he's already better.
There's also the idea that Perk is like the best player on the team with managing other relationships on the team. Does that make sense? So, like, you know, Serge gets mad.
Yeah, he's a great
Perk.
He's a great locker room guy.
Yeah.
He's a great locker room guy. I'm not saying that.
He's not saying that Perk doesn't bring positive things to the team. It's as far as if you had to take a choice between Kendrick Perkins or Steven Adams for your basketball team.
There's absolutely no question.
I would say Steven Adams right now. I don't feel comfortable saying Steven Adams is a – and he probably is. I just don't want to say it right now. I just don't want to say it.
I do.
So let me just say this as far as Kendrick Perkins. He did look better.
Yeah.
He made two really dumb offensive moves, but he looked like he had a place on the court again on Wednesday night, which was positive.
He had a sick ghost dunk. You know, when he went to do some reverse something and he just threw it down? Dude, he threw it down in the air so hard. It was sick.
He didn't touch the rim.
He didn't. I don't know. It probably would have not even gone in the hoop.
Number three, true or false, from D_Tally, TALLY. Fisher, Lamb, Tabo, Collison, and Adams is the best second unit for the Thunder.
I think that any second unit with Durant is probably better.
Yeah.
I think that putting Durant with Fisher, Lamb, Collison, and Adams would be better.
And I kind of feel like you have to.
Sure. I think that this question came from because in the third quarter against the Jazz, there was a time where this five was on the court and they actually had a pretty good little run. Tabo looked great on Wednesday night.
Tabo was good.
Which was crazy. You know, that number 25 changed everything,
he's
I guess.
He's the second best player on the court.
You know, Nick is Nick. Nick is a great passer, and he's a good finisher. He's just phenomenal. I love Nick Collison. I would say you have to have him. You have to have Durant on the court for that second unit with those guys. You know who I was really surprised got minutes, speaking of this? It's Perry Jones.
Yeah, he played in the second quarter for... Was it like?
He played in the first. He got minutes in the second half too.
Yeah, he looked okay. He's playing small forward. I don't think that's going to continue. I think that the minute Russ comes back, that if he does continue to get minutes, those minutes are absolutely gone.
I thought Lamb was okay. I thought Lamb was pretty good.
he looked good for like a very small stretch where he hit those two jumpers.
Yeah, maybe that's literally the only time I watched him play.
Then after that, he was completely uninvolved in anything that was going on.
Is that his fault?
I don't know. Yeah. I honestly don't know.
It's hard to evaluate anything based on that team other than, or on that, that game.
And that, yeah, that one game. And that game was ugly.
Yeah.
And the Jazz wanted it ugly. That was a
good game.
Yeah, they did.
They
even though it. Even though the Thunder scored over 100 points, it was still very ugly.
Was it?
Well, KD had 22 points at the line in that game. I mean, that's how they get over 100. KD has 42 points on 24 shots.
Yeah.
So to answer that question, D Tally, we would say false. The second best unit has to have Durant. The best second unit has to have Durant in it.
Anybody in Durant, especially for these first few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Also from D-Tally for our kind of follow-up question, Serge Ibaka will shoot below 57% from the field this season.
So last season he shot 57.3, I think, is what I saw. And the seasons before that, he's shot over 50%. It's like 55 to 57% every year, 54 to 57. And I think I'll go false. He'll go under, just under. It'll be 56. I mean,
so you think it'll be very similar to last year?
Yeah, very similar. I don't going like to 60% with all the jump shots he takes would be really difficult.
Yeah, I think he's under that. I think he's going to shoot more is one reason.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to try to do more at the rim, and some of that's going to be, you know, not as good a shots, and he's going to force some things as we kind of saw against the Jazz. But as soon as Russ comes back, I think a switch flips for him. And all of a sudden, it's when there's less pressure maybe for him, he starts playing well.
Hopefully. In the first half, he was trying to do
too much,
way too much. There were several times that he was trying to take Derek Favors off the dribble to the basket, and it did not look good. It resulted in, you know, a couple missed shots and wasted possessions. I don't think that he's that type of player. I hate it when players try to do too much. I think that that can ruin a guy's game. I think that guys like Monta Ellis always try to do way too much, things that they're not capable of doing. The guys that I like in the NBA know their limitations, know what their role is, and do the things that they know that they can do, and they do it well. And those are the guys that are super valuable in the NBA. But when you get a guy who is trying to do too much, who is not a post player, who is trying to make these post moves that he doesn't have, it's concerning to me. I think he's going to be well under that, maybe even around the 50% mark if he continues to try to do too much. So, but we'll see. So I say true that he'll be under.
Question number five, true false from Steven Gertz from 5 Seconds of the Paint. Andrew on the podcast will be the first to have a Steven Adams jersey.
I have a lot of basketball jerseys.
That's weird.
A lot.
I didn't know that.
I don't own a single basketball jersey other than the one I play in.
In high school, I bought a lot of
basketball. That sounded weird. Other than the NBA ones that I played in. No, my little crappy mesh ones.
I used to buy a lot of basketball jerseys and wear them a lot in high school. But now I like have a wife and a kid, and I haven't. They're in the back of my closet, but they're all like, you know, 90s to 2000s players. Like I have a Steve Nash jersey, a Yao Ming jersey, every Shaq jersey you can think of.
Oh my gosh, I want to.
Up until the Suns, I have every Shaq jersey. After the Suns, that kind of stopped.
That kind of excites me, man. I had the Shaq USA basketball one.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's number 13.
Yeah.
Do you have a black pinstripe Orlando Magic Shaq jersey?
It's blue
pinstripe. You have the blue one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a Hakeem Olajuwon. I would also buy jerseys at Walls. They would have jerseys that were just insanely cheap.
For really?
Like $10. I have this massive, authentic Luol Deng jersey.
It's fantastic.
It's awesome. But to answer the question, I have not bought a jersey since 2007. So I probably will not buy a jersey. If it comes in jersey shirt, t-shirt form, I will definitely buy it.
Or if there is another shirt, a.k.a. Not a.k.a., that doesn't work. If there's another shirt that, hint, 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 Tree and Leaf makes.
Oh, yeah.
That's a Stephen Adams jersey.
I will buy hemp.
Yeah. I will wear Stephen Adams attire.
Every single game, I'll wear a Stephen Adams jersey. Or not a jersey, but a shirt if you make
it. Yeah. See, I just don't know what to do with a jersey at this point.
Because you can't wear them.
Yeah, it just makes
you need a wall. You need a wall of jerseys, man. Start framing them up and put them all over your house.
The only one I have framed is my signed Shaq jersey. Mm.
There's a couple guys at school that wear like jerseys over T-shirts. You know,
over T-shirts.
They'll wear like a white T-shirt.
That's kind of a thing.
But it looks hold on.
When you say that, it makes me think at some point that Andrew would wear them to high school without anything underneath them.
Just the jersey.
Just the jersey.
I would go to school with a jersey and a headband on.
Would you really?
Yes, I would.
I vaguely remember that maybe for some. Not that I went to school with you, but
there was a good few years where I wore a headband consistently all the time. My teachers actually let me wear it, even though it was against school dress.
Because it's kind of your thing?
It was my thing.
I was a beanie guy for a while, but there's this one teacher that always, she snatched it off my head. She kept it one day. I got real mad, told the principal. Principal said, "It's time to give that back, Miss Lady." And I took it back, and I wore it.
Is her name Miss Lady, or are you being generic?
I'm being generic because I don't know if her husband listens to this podcast.
Probably does.
Honestly, he could, but let's move on.
All right, moving on. Number six. Last night's performance is what we should expect from Dwight all season. Now, it's two nights ago now, but Dwight Howard had 26 rebounds against the Lonely Bobcats. And so is that kind of the performance we expect to see every night? 26 rebounds is probably not what we're saying, but is he going to be a rebounding machine? Is he going to play really well? I don't know what he shot. Do you have that box score?
I'll pull it up. I think that it's reasonable to expect him to average 12 to 15 rebounds a game.
17 points, 26 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks.
He had a really nice game, but he had a really nice game against
the Bobcats.
Al Jefferson and Bismack Biyombo. So
Al Jefferson's a good rebounder, though.
But he's a pretty undersized center, in my opinion. God, Al Jefferson shot 6 of 19.
Al Jefferson's bigger than Dwight Howard, though.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Dwight Howard's not that big. Durant's taller than Dwight Howard is.
He's listed at 6'11", but he's probably like
6'10". He just is so long and wide.
Yeah.
Well, he's a lot smaller, too.
And he's really athletic.
He's proportionately smaller than his broad shoulders and big body, so he looks a lot bigger than he is.
That's true. But the 26 rebounds is
crazy.
Excuse me.
Crazy.
I think you can expect a performance like that. You can't get 26 rebounds, but he was good defensively too. He looked like he was more old Dwight, and I don't know. I think you're right. 15 rebounds a game.
He looks healthy.
Yeah,
he looks healthy.
He could average 15-15.
Yeah,
all season.
Be a good season for him. James Harden didn't play particularly well. 7 of 16 from the field. 1 of 6 from the 3-point line. You know, this team is going to be weird to me all season. I think we're going to follow them pretty closely because I think we just feel so tied to them because of James Harden in probably a negative way. One of the big moves they did as far as the lineup is they moved Patrick Beverley into the starting lineup and Jeremy Lin to the backup, which I think is not as much a testament to Jeremy Lin as much as it is they just wanted some more offensive power on that back. That second squad.
Yeah, and Patrick Beverley just makes more sense as a starter because he's a better defender, in which James Harden is lacking. Putting Lin and Harden together doesn't work defensively at all. And also, Patrick Beverley's not a bad 3-point shooter either. So he's a nice addition to the starting lineup, but he is hurt. He has like a bruised rib or something, which I'm really not sorry about.
Which makes sense. That's why he played 10 minutes and Jeremy Lin paid 31. In that game, Lin had a good night, good stat line. Lin can be good when there's not as much, in my opinion, expectation on him.
Yeah,
because of that year where he went nuts.
He can be the best player ever.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, I really believe that.
Like Lin sanity.
When it's not this thing where you expect him to score 50 a night and be the stud, he's a good player. So, but yeah, Dwight, I think is going to be good this year. It's not a reach, probably, but I think he's going to be good. Next question, number 7. Now, Kevin Durant will lead the NBA in scoring again. True or false?
True.
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 I think he, especially these first few weeks without Russ, he's going to average like probably, I would not.
35?
38 points a game is not unreasonable. Just because his team needs that so badly. So I think he's absolutely going to win the scoring title. I think even taking away Kevin Martin is going to add a few shots for Kevin Durant this season. So I think that, yes, Durant will win the scoring title. And Andrea Bargnani is going to be taking shots from Carmelo like crazy.
Dude, I watched that game last night.
He's so lumbering.
And he's
bad.
So exactly what everyone thought he was going to be. Terrible.
He got booed in his first night in the New York Knicks for the New York Knicks.
He's so bad. He like he bumbled a rebound. He was the only one who could get the rebound at one point, and he bumbled it out of bounds or something like that.
He's bad.
I will say this about Durant. Some of the offensive stagnation in the first game was on him, in my opinion. He goes into hero mode with his squad. I think he feels the need to do that, and maybe it's correct. Like, maybe he has to do that. But there's times where he's forcing stuff where it's like, be the playmaker that we know you can be. Don't feel the pressure to do it all. And there's times where he's shooting off balance jump shots where, you know, if you work it to somebody else or trust somebody else on the team, then I feel like he could, you know, and it showed in his stat line. He shot 9 of 24 from the field, which is a, you know, not a close to a guy that shot, you know, 50, 40, 90 last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those things where he's got to be able to trust his teammates a little bit more, and his teammates got to earn that a little bit as well. But I do think he will lead the NBA in scoring again. Mainly because there's also not a whole lot of other people that will score as much. I mean, you got the usual suspects, but I don't think LeBron is going to score as much as maybe he normally does.
No, it's
Melo's only.
Carmelo's is the competition. Well, it's kind of a wait and see.
And Paul George, my man.
Well, I have to say this. Yesterday on Twitter, someone asked Matt Moore. They said, "Do you think if Paul George keeps playing like this, that he'll take Durant's spot as the number two player in the league?" I couldn't believe that people were actually thinking that. Matt Moore said, "Well, KD scored 42, so ...
Yeah,
but it was just ridiculous.
Oh, I thought you said that Matt Moore asked that.
No, Matt Moore didn't ask.
I do think that transitions pretty well to our eighth.
Yeah,
true or false. Paul George is a legit superstar, which in a superstar in my mind is he has a chance to make, I mean, starter in the All-Star, first, second NBA team.
Yeah, like he is one of the best players in the league.
I would say internationally he's known as an NBA player internationally if you're a superstar.
I'm going to say true.
I think
he's really good.
I don't think he's superstar. I'll say he's star. I don't think he's superstar. So last year was like the first time that people outside of NBA fans
by the end of the season, does that change it?
If he can maintain, I think that you got to be a perennial all-star before you're a superstar, I think. Yeah. And I don't know that Paul George has the same appeal as a guy like Kyrie Irving. I think Kyrie Irving's already a superstar just because of his
commercial hype,
because of his appeal that he has to everybody. Paul George doesn't have that same appeal. His game is amazing. He's really, really good. But
superstars transcends the game.
It's strong. You know, KD's a superstar. LeBron's a superstar. Kyrie Irving, Chris Paul,
Dwayne Wade, Kobe,
D Wade, like all those guys. Are we going to be talking about Paul George like that in the next five years? Like, I don't feel like he's in the same class. I feel like he's a class below all those guys. And he and Irving may be super close in their skill level, but I don't know that he is ever going to have that appeal. I don't see Paul George as, you know, a front guy for Nike or somebody who's going to be on commercials. Like, there's something that you have to have to be a superstar, and I'm not sure that Paul George actually has
a persona.
That.
That's really true, and you have to have something that you're known for in basketball, too. I mean, Kyrie, his handles, right? Derrick Rose, just mad athleticism. And, I mean, you're right. I mean, what could you say about
Paul George? Would you say Russ is a superstar?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. Yeah, he's a superstar. I think what could change that is if the Pacers make the finals this year and win the title. Because they would have said that Paul George is the best player on that team. And also one thing that kind of keeps him from being a superstar is that he has other players on his team that are close to his level, like a Roy Hibbert. People could argue that Roy Hibbert is the best and most important player on their team over Paul George, which I would disagree with. But people can make that argument. Nobody's going to make that argument about Derrick Rose, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. You know, I say not a superstar. I do think he's a star. But we'll see going forward. I don't see it happening because I do think that he's kind of one of those tier two level stars.
Yeah. So I think it'd be fun one day to define superstar because I think it's so much more than basketball. Like if it's purely basketball, I think Paul George is one of the top 10 players in the league probably right now.
Yeah, if it's pure basketball skills, I still have my doubts about him. He hadn't done it long enough.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. That's good.
I can define superstar right now. A star that saves the general public from evil or bad guys.
Yeah. It's good. So our last true or false question. Our last superstar question, true or false, is the Bulls deserve the hype. The reason this kind of comes out is game one against the Heat, they get their doors blown off them. Derrick Rose hasn't looked really good in the first two games, but they won last night against the Knicks, and Derrick Rose hit the game-winning shot.
Here's the media hype, so we have a bar. Media hype saying, like,
Bill
you
Simmons
know, on,
picks them to win the NBA
right,
finals.
Right, and ESPN saying, like, well, I don't think the Heat are going to win because they have the Bulls, which I think, I want to say right now, Pacers are better than the Bulls.
Oh, yeah.
If without someone's going to beat out the Heat, the Pacers are more likely to beat the Heat than the Bulls. Yes.
I feel like that could change.
I don't know. I think by the end of the season, that'll be the case, too. But so that's it right there. The Bulls are right below the Heat, and they, oh, man, they could probably win the title just as easily as the Heat could. They talk about it like if the Bulls get to the finals, they'll win no matter who it is. So that's the bar we're at.
I think they deserve the hype. I think Derrick Rose is that good.
They deserve that hype.
I think their defense is that good. I think they have good role players. I think so. I do. I believe in this Bulls team. It's only been one. They've only played two games, and we can't judge them on that. We have to look back and see what has this team done in the past. Every time Derrick Rose is healthy for a whole season, they win 60 something games, and I think they're going to do that again. And we haven't seen, you know, a developed, mature Bulls team going into the playoffs that have been together. And they actually have a shooting guard now in Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Who is reliable.
And so, has one of the worst haircuts in the NBA.
But the coolest.
Or the best.
You don't get it.
So I do think they deserve the hype. I think it's too early to judge them.
For sure.
But their defense is going to be incredible.
Their defense is going to be good. They've got talent more than, as far as offensively, as much as they've had maybe in their, like, this Derrick Rose era. You know, in the sense, you have Heinrich, and you've got Dunleavy, and you got Taj Gibson, you have Noah, you have Boozer. You have
Luol Deng,
Jimmy Butler. So you have eight players that can contribute on a pretty good level. I'm excited. I think right now I'd agree with you. Right now, I'd pick the Pacers. Maybe over everybody. You know, as far as the way they played the first two freaking games. But, I think that it's the hype, man. I love it. It's the hype machine. Derrick Rose is exciting to have back in the NBA, and people appreciate that, and they want to see him be successful. And people want to see the champion lose. Like, it's fun for them to see it's this battle thing. And I think it's going to be the best playoffs I can remember, which may not say anything because I can barely remember last year.
So, I'm going to say false. They don't deserve the hype.
All right, that's fine. You can say that.
I just said it.
We value your opinion.
I said it because I feel free to do so.
All right, it is time to move on to our top and bottom five.
And now, top five power rankings.
Our top and bottom five is an opportunity for us to kind of give our way too premature top five teams in the NBA and bottom five NBA teams in the NBA. I'll start with my top five. Are y'all ready?
Yeah. I'm ready.
This is really hard because we played one or two games. And so it's basically a preseason award, but I'm going to go ahead and just go said these are teams I think that are the five best teams in the NBA, and they've shown it at least in one of the two games because the Heat beat the Bulls by 20 and then lose to the Sixers, who I thought would be the worst team in the NBA, who should not win games. I don't know what they're doing. Like, literally, just bench everybody.
Hey, it's everything. The Sixers, you're at your peak. Celebrate as long as you can.
That's what I wanted to.
This is the.
Okay. If you're a Sixers fan, celebrate as long as you can because, you know, Iverson retired that night. Michael Carter Williams almost did. Only one player in NBA history has ever had a triple double on their first outing. Oscar Robertson. And he almost did that with steals. He had nine steals. That was crazy.
It's good to see Norris Cole and Mario Chalmers come back to earth a little bit, I guess. But
I thought Mike Carter Williams was going to suck.
But I did too. He's so big though for a.
He's huge. Anyway. We'll see.
So part of that is what you want to do is if you're a Sixers fan or a Phoenix Suns fan, go ahead and take your phone out, get on your little ESPN app, search your standings, get your conference standings up, and take a picture where they are. Because right now you have the Western Conference, you have Phoenix at 1, and Philadelphia in the Eastern Conference is at 3. So take that picture because they will not be there anywhere close to that by the end of the season. All that to say, I still think the Heat are in my top five. So I'll give you kind of a rundown of who I think. Let's go 1 through 5. All right. 1, I'm going to put the Pacers there. They've got 2 wins. They've got 2 decent wins. They beat the Magic, who I think the Magic are improved because the Magic played the Pacers well on Wednesday night and then played a back-to-back against the Wolves and took them to overtime on Thursday.
Yeah, they're playing these teams pretty well. They're going to lose all of these close games. They're going to lose every close
Wednesday.
Game. But
yeah, they played the Pacers Tuesday and then Wednesday played the Wolves. I will take them as 1. I take the Spurs as 2. I think the Spurs come out and just do the Spurs thing, and they beat the Grizzlies and just play well. I mean, they're the Spurs. And so I'll still take the Heat, even though they lost to the 76ers. They set Dwayne Wade, which is what they're going to do on back-to-backs. By the way, the NBA put way too many back-to-backs to start the season. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
What were they doing? So I'll take the Heat up there. I like the Warriors. See, this is where it starts to get murky because I think the Warriors can be up there. I think the Thunder, if you take it just based on the way they played the first game, I would say no. But I think the Thunder belong in that top five. So I'll take the Thunder at 3, at 4, and then I'll finish it off with I like the Warriors. I'll put the Warriors at 5.
Thanks.
Because the Warriors blew the Lakers to pieces and then lost a game where Chris Paul had 42 points last night. And so on a way too premature preseason, 1-2 games into the season, top five, that's my top five. What do you got for bottom five, Taylor?
And now.
Bottom five is basically what we thought the bottom five would be from the start. You have Utah Jazz, Phoenix Suns, Orlando Magic, Boston Celtics, and Charlotte Bobcats.
So who'd you put at the worst?
At the worst, I'm going to put Boston. I don't really have much to say about any of these teams. These are all pretty obvious.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks.
How'd I do? How'd I do with the bottom five?
Hey, we will come back to this periodically through the season. As the season progresses, it'll actually get more.
We'll have more stats. We'll have things to work with.
I have nothing.
Right now, there's nothing to work
with. So that's kind of a preseason
thing. I will say this for the Phoenix Suns. Maybe you're a little concerned because they did not get an offer sheet signed by Eric Bledsoe last night.
What I've heard about him and Gordon Hayward, though, from Mark Stein, from really everybody, is they're already prepared to whatever somebody offers them, they're just going to match in the offseason.
Yeah.
Which is risky.
So they're going to get paid.
Pay them some money.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. They're wanting their market value to be determined by somebody else and not give them like a max deal that they don't deserve.
Yeah. Yep.
That they won't get. I mean, who knows?
They don't deserve max deals.
No.
Okay. Good. All right, Taylor. It's time for your game. What's your game called?
Time for my game. This is called the Games Game. I'm going to be giving you information about... I'm going to be constantly flowing information to you about a certain player, okay?
Okay.
And then you can feel free to interrupt me at any time that you think you know who this player is. First one to guess the player correctly gets a point. You know, you've played this game before, I'm sure.
You don't have a name for this game? You could just call it Guess Who?
Yeah, but I didn't want to just say a boring name, so I'd rather just call it
you
the
call
game.
Call it the game. That is the most boring.
What about this? The Games Game.
It's terrible. Hey,
no.
Feel free to play along at home whilst listening.
Please do. But here's the thing. You can't just blurt out names. So you have
one guess, two guesses.
Two guesses each.
Let's do this.
Two guesses. Okay.
You ready?
Let's go.
First player. This product of Xavier is the second all-time scorer with... Is he the only, like, known player?
The only player I know.
Damn it. I spent, like, 15 minutes on him.
All right. I was going to
get some. Okay, this one. There's no way you're going to get this one.
Give him some time, even if you...
Sorry, my fault.
Give him a few sentences.
I got a little overzealous.
This one, this will be harder. This player went to USC and was selected 16th overall in 2011. His father, Borislav, played professional basketball in Belgium for 24 years. Being on a young team in the midst of rebuilding, his terrific rebounding and energy doesn't show up in the win-loss column for his team, but he is one of the staples for this team to build on.
Vucevic.
Got it.
Nikolai. No, what's his first name?
Nikola. Oh. Got it. He's Montenegrin.
You know what I almost said? I almost said Taj Gibson.
His dad, Boris.
Yeah, I don't think Taj is
Borislav. 24 years he played.
Borislav Gibson.
All right. Anyway. That's a long time.
Okay, next. This player was drafted straight out of high school with the 18th overall pick in 2004. In high school, he was co-MVP with Dwight Howard at the McDonald's All-American game. His rookie year in the league, his team's record was 18-64. Was 18-16. I can't remember. 18-64.
Why is this so funny to you?
Sounds like a date. In 1864, his great-grandfather, making them one of the worst teams in the league, obviously. In 2006, he was traded from the Bulls for guard Howard Eisley and 2 second-round draft picks. He signed a deal with the Zhejiang Golden Bulls.
Sebastian Telfair.
Nope.
No.
Golden Bulls during the lockout and even scored 60 points off the bench in one game. After the Golden Bulls were eliminated from the playoffs, he returned to the NBA and signed with the Knicks.
J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith.
You just guessed that like as if I didn't guess it.
I'm thinking about it.
So, okay, here's the tricky part. He was traded from the Bulls for guard Howard Eisley.
Yeah.
Well, it was in the same day. He was traded from the Hornets to the Bulls and then was traded from the Bulls to the Nuggets.
Okay, that's why I was thinking of a Bulls player that whole time. I know.
I thought I'd get you with that one, and I did.
You did get me.
All right, here's another guy.
You should have given us, like, a Hornets reference.
I know, no, because then you would.
You can't be critical of the game.
These have to be hard, or come what's on, the
bring
point?
Bring it, Taylor.
I say three words. He knows my first one. These have to be hard.
You said one word.
This Belgian-born player is the son of a former Loyola University player and of a Dutch model. His first interest was soccer, but that changed after he had watched the evolution of Michael Jordan into a global basketball superstar. He was drafted 28th overall in 2001 and did not attend a college as he played overseas before his NBA career. Early in his career, it was unknown if he would pan out to be a good enough player as he was sporadic and irritated his head coach very much. His most recent achievement is being the FIBA Eurobasket MVP, though he is a 3-time NBA champion with the Spurs. I thought for sure you'd have it by now. Though he was born in Belgium, he's usually known for being French and is on the French...
Tony Parker?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was thinking about some pale white dude who's...
I know. Hey, man, these are tricky. You can't think too much into my words. Right, you have to think through them.
How many more you got?
Two more. This 32-year-old was born in Orange City, Iowa, and was the 12th
Nick
overall...
Olson.
Yep. You might be able... Jay's smoking you. You might be able to tell...
He's not putting any effort into it. He's done with you.
Yeah, he is.
I'm just kidding.
You might be able to tell by his strange name that this player was born overseas, Nigeria specifically. He graduated from his high school when he was 14 years old, and his name is actually Ifeanyi, which means nothing is impossible with God. He is a product of Vanderbilt and was the 30th overall pick in 2012. Though he gets limited minutes, he's known for being somewhat of a warrior down
Festus?
Low. Got it!
Stats.
That one was worth 6 points. Andrew wins.
Thank you. Thank
Andrew
you,
Andrew wins.
Bestest.
So I think I worked way too hard on this game.
No, I actually loved it.
I don't know if you're being serious.
No, I actually loved it.
I did love it.
How was Festus, man?
He really good. Did last night. Night.
Okay. Festus probably didn't
He did
play.
Not play last night.
He's not going to play.
Oh, sad.
Shout out to Festus.
Shout out to Festus.
If All you right. guys didn't get it by them, I was going to say his name rhymes with Crestus E. Smealy. And I think you would have got it.
That's good. That was a good game. Thank you, Taylor, for bringing
Shut
it.
Shut up.
Okay.
David West. Next. Let's go! Let's dominate this game!
I turned into Macho Man Randy Savage. I appreciate that. Woo! Next up is our Say What Stat of the Week.
Say what? My Say What Stat of the Week was going to be a Warrior player, and it's still a Warrior player. It was going to be Klay Thompson, but after Steph hit 9 threes last night and 10 turnovers. Come on, baby. You almost had a sick quadruple double.
He was 9 of, what was his final stat line from the 3-point line?
9 of 14, I think.
Gosh, it's so good.
He was like 4 of 4 at one point in the fourth quarter. It was stupid. It was so exciting.
That's a good one. What do you got, Andrew?
I say what stat is Andrew Bynum played basketball.
What?
And I said, what?
What?
Yeah.
Wait, Bynum, did you not know he played? Really,
he played 8 minutes on Wednesday. He was 1 for 5 from the field. He hit 1 free throw. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks.
I had no idea.
A turnover, and he actually fouled somebody.
How does hair
look? Andrew Bynum fouled somebody this season.
Oh, my gosh.
He looks completely normal. He actually looked
he really did.
Pretty decent on the court.
Uh-oh. If he can stay healthy, which is about as big as if as Greg Oden.
They'll make the playoffs.
He played 8 minutes, guys.
Yeah. That's, I'm not ready to. You want to crown him? Crown him! I'm going to go with Chris Paul's stat line last night, which was just spectacular. 42 points, 15 assists, 2 rebounds, and 5 steals.
Yeah, it was stupid.
Which is kind of insane. But also in the win, pretty impressive.
Can we... We have to mention Michael Carter Williams because I actually said yeah. what when I saw this. Here's his stat line. I'm going to read all of it. He played 36 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3. He was 6 of 8 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds, 12 assists, 9 steals, 1 turnover, and 1 foul, 22 points.
Rookie on a terrible team in your debut.
That's a pretty amazing stat line. And only to turn the ball over once.
That's amazing.
Daniel Warren got 15 minutes for him.
How did he get 12 assists with that team?
That's everybody. Nobody could miss for the Sixers, I guess.
Except for Thaddeus Young, who shot 30% from the field.
Look at everybody else, though. Dude, Evan Turner hit 10 shots. When was the last time Evan Turner hit 10 shots?
Yeah.
That's never happened before.
He's played well against the Heat before, which is crazy. Spencer Hawes, you know what he did this summer?
He had a 58-point game. Sucker.
Taylor's cool name, kids. Fantasy football, fantasy basketball name is the Spencer Hawes.
The Spencer Hawes dropping your draws.
All right. That's good, man. Michael Carter Williams, let's see what he does. I'm excited to see how he actually kind of progresses because it's kind of all down from here, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
all. Everything is worse from here for you, Michael Carter Williams.
This year.
All right, now it's time as we wrap up with our pour one out. This is an opportunity for us to pour one out for a fan base or a person or something that we want to pour it out for.
I'm going to pour one out for the Clippers because you're the best team in L.A. and people are still going to talk about the Lakers more, and I would still rather watch this Lakers team than watch your Clippers team, and that's awful. That's it.
I'm pouring one out for the NBA referees because of this delay of game rule. And everybody's going to scream and yell at these referees, coaches, players, fans, until they stop doing this. But they're just following orders.
Yep.
This isn't their fault.
What's funny is that it's slowing down the game more than...
It's ridiculous. It's stupid.
Play games, dude.
It's stupid. But I'm pouring out for the referees, at least for this next week. I honestly think it's going to be gone very soon. They may make a press release today about it, but I'm pouring out for the referees.
Also, the carrying thing is ridiculous, too. They're calling every stupid carry. I don't want to see that.
I am saying I was going to go somewhere else, but I'm going to go with eventually Nick Young. I watched him play.
Wait, what? This is an eventual pour one out.
I watched Swaggy
like
P
the inevitable pour
play
one out
against the Clippers in the first night. He was the worst
awesome
basketball player I've seen in the NBA in a really long time.
You're going to make me hit you in the balls.
And I am pouring it out for the absolute beatdown he's going to get by Kobe Bryant around Christmas.
Actually, I think Kobe might respect him.
For what?
For jacking up shots.
Dude.
You know what Kobe gets pissed at? Kobe gets mad at guys who will not shoot the ball when he wants them to.
Well, he is going to enjoy his team when he comes back because they are some shooters.
I honestly think they might get along. He would get angry at Powell when Powell would, you know,
be timid
and not do what he
Nick
knew
Young
that he
is
could
not
do.
Timid.
Kobe is friends with Soulja Boy. He's actually friends with Soulja Boy. So let's just put that out there. So I think him and Nick Young are going
to
be
fine. Maybe I pour one out for me having to ever watch Nick Young play basketball again.
Dude, do you not enjoy it? Because I really enjoy it.
It was so embarrassing.
I honestly enjoyed it.
On Wednesday night.
I miss him on the Wizards when he had a fro.
On Tuesday night.
He would just take the stupidest shot. You think his shots were bad now? You should have seen him when he played for the Wizards,
and
dude.
Every
he's
time
taking
he gets the ball, it's like he's trying to dribble through his legs or behind his back.
Yes, oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Oh, dude, he was so bad in that game against
the Clippers. That's Swaggy P, man.
Just keep watching because he'll have a game or two where he doesn't miss crap, and he makes this dumbest shots ever, and it's and you will laugh.
When he played for the Clippers, there was a game where he hit about 10 corner threes, it felt like.
Oh, my God.
My favorite thing that he did was he spun around unnecessarily to get to the basket. No one was around him. Like, he wasn't, like, spinning off somebody. He just turned around, and the LA crowd goes, oh! But
they do. When he does start doing anything, they get really excited. That's but, gosh, man.
And he fades away on every jump shot.
This is line that first night, because I bet he shot 3 of 20, it felt like.
I think they gave him a lot of shots in like the first and second quarter, and then they're like, all right, let's chill out.
Yeah, let's get...
There's not even
dump the ball down to Cayman.
There wasn't even a question that their second unit was the better lineup. Like, Farmar was better than Nash. Xavier's better than Nick Young that time.
I think they just totally surprised the Clippers. They had no idea what to do.
3 of 10. That's
That's 30%.
Swaggy P lineup.
He hit 3 shots.
Dude, for Swaggy P,
right.
That's like a 50%er for other players.
At least he's not Wesley Johnson, who was 1 for 11.
I'd rather watch Nick Young play.
I'd get him out of the NBA.
1,000 minutes than
he doesn't need to be in the NBA.
I'm really hoping Xavier Henry continues to do what he's doing. He looked pretty good in the first couple games.
I'm happy for him.
Okay,
Professor X.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us at the Down and Dunk Podcast. We appreciate you listening. Remember, follow us on Twitter at DTD Podcast. Search us on iTunes. Search Down to Dunk. We appreciate the listen. We'll see you next week when we have way more actual basketball to talk about.
We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right.